There it is! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 37 of the Bacon Smiles podcast. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend...
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yeah, there we are. All right, ready to get into this?
Absolutely. Started? Got my sleeves rolled up already.
All right, so last time we talked about... meet and greet and the fact that I had a retreat coming up and today we're going to talk about the retreat.
Cool.
And then you had the sacrament of confirmation.
Yeah, I got to see a bunch of our teenagers get confirmed last weekend, so that was great.
Yeah, and Halloween was last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And kind of sad news at the St. Bart's, now St. Teresa of Calcutta. The religious ed director stepped down, and it's just a sad day, but just want to talk about the positive stuff about Denise Bartlett. So wonderful.
Part of your story, too.
Yeah, neither one of us would be who we are without her. So just want to talk about that, and you have music.
Absolutely.
And scripture of the day, Gospel, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. The Beatitudes, so awesome. You know, blessed is a poor in spirit.
Love it.
Cool. So, St. Valentine Barrero Ochoa, kind of funny, Ochoa, had a couple of students come through and a prayer minister, last name Ochoa, so that's cool. And then you have News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into this. So, Halloween last night.
Mm-hmm.
How many trick-or-treaters did you get?
I didn't know what to expect. We ended up having about a dozen.
Okay.
So not too bad, being that this was probably the first Halloween in that house for a couple of years, because it was empty when we bought the place.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of teenagers coming through. We stocked up on a lot of candy, probably too much candy than what was needed. But but it was fun. We had the whole house lit up and everything and had music playing to just try to... remind people, there are people living in this house now. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
You know? How about you?
We had, like, essentially one trick-or-treater. It was, two sisters, I'm assuming, that were getting, like, driven from house to house, or at least their parent was kind of, like, driving along. You know, this is a pretty busy street.
Aren't any sidewalks.
No sidewalks, and it's real dark at night.
Yeah.
So... that was the first trick-or-treaters I've gotten in 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. The first year I was here, I think I got one trick-or-treater, and then, did you guys dress up, you and Jen?
Jen did. I did not. But Jen spent a few hours in the bathroom putting on the makeup and came out as a unicorn.
So
she did a good job on that. I just stayed in my clothes, regular.
Have you ever dressed up to hand out candy for Halloween?
Not to hand out candy, but we did go to a few parties this year where I dressed up in a full gorilla costume.
Nice.
And it was by far the hottest costume I've ever worn.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't stay in that thing longer than 10 minutes.
So, did I ever... Little side story. Did I ever tell you the story of Sean Forrest's summer retreat?
I do remember that story, but it's worth repeating.
So, pretty much the entire retreat was spent pranking this one lady who helps volunteer for this retreat. Her name is June. Maybe she listens to our podcast. Hi, June. So, June gave me the keys to her car so that I could go get cleaning supplies out of her car. And all I did was immediately go to the rest of the team and go, I have June's keys. What should we do?
Exactly.
And my friend Sam goes, I have a gorilla costume.
Of course you do.
Like a Hollywood, like full-fledged gorilla costume. And so he's like, I'm just going to get in the trunk. Go tell her you couldn't get the cleaning supplies out of her trunk. I'm like, perfect. Super hot day in the summer. I hand her keys. I'm like, June, sorry, I got some video editing I still need to do. I'm sorry, I couldn't get them. You'll have to just go get them. And she was like, oh, okay, I got a couple other things I got to do first. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. So Sam is in the trunk for like 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Super sweating. But yeah, so finally she did open the trunk and she screams and Sam jumps out. I was like, so afterwards, it's super ridiculously funny. But So afterwards, I was like, Sam, dude, I got worried. She wasn't coming quick. He goes, listen, a dead gorilla in the trunk is just as funny. But anyway, so back to Halloween. Yeah. I dressed up the first year I was in my house in Coventry. So I was 21 years old, bought the house 3 months earlier. So I went all out. Smoke machine, strobe lights, music pumping out of the windows. And so, like, I'm ready. I got, like, one of those big black cloaks with the mask that just see the red eyes.
Yeah.
You know, scary mask. I'm like, yeah, I'm in this. First trick-or-treater, right? I open the door, like, yeah! Tiny little girl in a ladybug costume loses her mind, just sobbing. And that makes you reevaluate your life.
It does.
I'm like, now I'm tormenting small children. Here I am thinking of getting into the holiday spirit. Like, yeah, we're going to be scary and people are going to love coming to my house. It's just open the door. So then the rest of the night, I left the music on. I left the strobe light, smoke machine still billowing out. I was no longer in costume.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, apparently I just upset my daughter that you can hear in the other room. But yeah, seriously, little tiny, you know, 2 foot tall ladybug just.
Yeah, we ended up thinking about it last night because we ended up putting some creepy looking props in our garage. And I had the door closed, but the lights on it and everything to make it look really creepy.
Yeah.
Like, kids were walking on the sidewalk across the street and just avoiding the house. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just turn off those lights.
Yeah.
You know, keep the lights on the house and everything and the music playing. But I tried changing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just see if we get more kids. And we got a couple more. And
see, I think that's the same
situation. You know, parents driving their kids going, okay, which lights are still on?
Which makes sense. When I was in Coventry, it's a small little neighborhood with, it's kind of like a loop neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a direct street. So there's no, like, fast traffic.
Right.
So parents would drop their kids off at the top of the street, and they would come through the loop and then go back out. One year, there was a guy, like, with an ATV with a trailer on the back of it, like, toting, like, 12 kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, now we're busting in from other
neighborhoods. Right.
What's happening here? I would get 100 kids or something like that. The first year, like a ladybug story, but I ran out of candy. Like, I'm shouting at my neighbors across the street going, hey, man, I didn't meet you yet, but you guys got any candy?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
See, that happened in my parents' first house that I grew up in, where I still have that mentality for Halloween where we would just get, you know, so many kids coming through and trick-or-treating that one year we did run out and I had to run over to the store and buy more.
Yeah,
And we just haven't seen that much since.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, the numbers are down, but you think kids are just trick or treating somewhere else, or?
I think it all depends on the neighborhood too, because sometimes you know you get a lot of the kids, but then they grow up and move elsewhere. So if the people that are living around you are older and don't have kids. It all depends on the community around you.
Yeah, but anyway, that's Halloween, and
you had the retreat.
Yes.
How did that go?
Oh, dude, awesome! Like amazingly well. It was so great. So I had 12 kids that are getting confirmed next weekend. This weekend coming up, actually on the 5th, at the Cathedral in Hartford, and so it was just an all-day retreat. Started with 10:15 mass and went until like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Mm.
Did a bunch of games, some team building stuff like egg drop, and the magic. We used to do the magic shoes.
Yeah,
I do it as the magic hat now. I feel like the clown shoes. Number one, I don't know what ever happened to our old clown shoes.
Yeah.
But number two, it's kind of safer to just use a hat because they trip over the shoes while carrying another kid.
Yeah.
It could be bad. But, of course, Spittoon.
Oh, yeah.
Which never fails.
No.
Every single time I do that game, the first words out of someone's mouth is, this is gross.
Yeah.
And they still love it. They play it They ended up wanting to play it twice. We did it more than once. And then went right into the soap game where you drop a bar of soap into a bucket with water and, you know, they have to do pulse. And, you know, one pulse for heads, two pulse for tails. And they can't look. And what was happening is you catch them cheating where they look at the first pulse and then just run. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, everyone look away. I want to see you looking in the opposite direction of everyone else.
Right.
So that makes it a little fair. But, dude, the entire parish has been coming up to me and been like, dude, heard that your retreat went really well. Heard from a grandmother whose grandson, like, really didn't want to go. And he came and had a blast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so they just keep saying, like, you know, really good things about me, which is really odd. You know, I don't know how to deal with compliments.
Yeah, I understand.
But it just feels good, you know. It feels good that they needed a youth minister, and I wanted to have a program that's mine. And I was able to run this retreat, and it went really, really well. The kids had fun. Apparently, a couple times when I left the room, the parent that was volunteered to be there all day came up to me afterwards, after I came back, and was like, hey, just let you know, these kids are having a blast. You left, and they were talking about, like, man, I wish, you know, our classes are a little more like this, and, you know, I would love to come to church for youth groups and stuff like that if it's like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's like that little, like, you know, affirmation that I'm doing okay, and that things are gonna, you know, be okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to grow it here and
there. And that's the way to do it. Get the word to spread it too. Yep.
And get people come in and understanding that it's not just sitting in like a prayer circle, like singing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
If that's what you do. But nah, that's not what I do.
Right.
So we have fun. We laugh. And it was awesome. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah. The egg drop, one team's egg didn't break. Super tall ladder, same thing that we used to do at St. Bart's. And you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
It was just awesome. So same thing we used to do at St. Bart's, so bag-o stuff. Dollar store is a youth minister's best friend. And so everyone got the exact same thing. You know, five cotton balls, one paper plate. So there's the egg drop, you get one paper plate, a cotton ball, a bunch of other stuff. Sorry if it gets choppy. We had to take a pause. Buster made a mess in the house. So
Buster.
We ended up, the Facebook Live video will be like two pieces and stuff like that. But whatever. Enough technical mumbo jumbo.
Inside baseball.
Yeah, exactly. So, the retreat went awesome. And you had confirmation.
Yeah, and Bishop Rezaza came back and did that, and he was great as always. And we ended up seeing 66 students get confirmed.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a good number.
Yeah. So with the both churches combined and everything, it was a great amount, and we ended up doing two masses,
which were full. Yeah, anytime you get to that amount with families and everything else, the church is just packed.
Yeah.
And that was at St. Bart's campus, right?
Correct, yeah. Okay.
Gotta say campus.
That's right, campus. Not parish, but campus.
How many peer ministers did we get out of that group?
I'm not sure. We had one of my peer ministers is in that group. I'm not sure if we got any others from that.
From 10th graders?
A large
11th graders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's cool. I was just curious.
Yeah.
So, two masses, Bishop Rezaza, how was it, like, with the two masses? Was it...
It was very well attended, and he had everyone's attention, as he always does.
That's great.
And then afterwards, they did a little photo opportunity out in Father Hussey Hall.
Yeah,
and it was just like a meet-and-greet session that I do with radio, where they're like, all right, Evan, we want you to be in charge of the line. So I'm like, all right, once everyone's found their sponsor and their parents, please start lining up right here. One pose per family.
Yeah, that was always
one item for blessings, you know.
Yeah, that was always me. That was my job. And then I'd be in there taking pictures.
Right.
Yeah. You know, give me your phone.
I'll hold your pocketbook. Yes, I'll take that. Yeah. Oh, I got three pocketbooks now. Okay. Yeah. I'll hold on to that.
Exactly. So the cool thing is so, you know, like I said, my group is getting confirmed. Mm-hmm. The one thing about confirmation is it somehow has become this thing where they think that's the end.
Right.
Like, right?
It's not a graduation.
It's not a graduation. It's the start. It's right. The start of your faith as your own.
And right.
And it's one of those things
where... You're now officially part of the church.
Yeah, exactly. And I keep telling people, like, this is where you get to decide on for yourself what your faith is, you know? Like, your journey is not finished. It's right. Literally just begun as an adult in the Catholic Church. Like, what kind of person are you going to be? Like, what... You know, where's Jesus calling you? Where's God calling you to be in your life? That's the thing. You know, what are your gifts? What are your passions? What are your, you know, that you bring to the table? And that's what's cool about confirmation. And, you know, at the end of the retreat, you know, they were asking, like, well, what does confirmation really mean? And stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I explained it. And the really cool thing about it was they also had confession that day. So I got to talk about that sacrament, too. Like,
right.
What it means to give a big boy confession. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what I mean by that is you just go in there. And all the things that bog you down, the stuff that you are ashamed of, the stuff that makes you feel bad about yourself, let go of it. Mm-hmm. Give it over. Give it over to God. You're not just talking to the priest. You're talking to Jesus. Right, like, give it over. Give it up. Like, stop holding on to it. Stop, you know,
clinging. That's just something you do during Lent.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, let me tell you. So, as Catholics, apparently, and I didn't ever remember being taught this, that we're only obligated to go to confession once a year. Go more often than that. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to confession in a while, I challenge you to go to confession. And if the 3:30 on Saturday doesn't work, call your parish. They are by appointment. They'll do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you're the type of person where maybe you're just a little too embarrassed to go to your priest, call any parish in the world. They will make an appointment to do confession. So, if you're the type of person where, like, oh, I see that priest every Sunday, and for some reason, that means that you can't just tell them all of your stuff.
Right.
But, because, listen, they don't go around comparing stories.
Dude, did you hear?
they can't. Number one, priests love being priests. You couldn't do that. You couldn't be a priest without loving being a priest. Mm-hmm. So, don't think that they're out there just, you know, talking about it, because that means, guess what? They're not priests anymore. They'll be excommunicated. They'll no longer be a priest. So don't think that. The other part is, dude, how much better do you feel afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's just an amazing, that grace. Mm-hmm. Being in grace, in a state of grace with God is amazing.
Well, it's like when we were talking in an earlier podcast about Jesus washing the feet.
Yeah.
And saying, unless if you let me wash your feet, you don't have all of me.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just that, that feeling of just getting to start over. Like, okay, you know, I'm determined to avoid sin, you know? Like that, the act of contrition in the end of it, where you're just like, I vow to sin no more. With the help of your grace, I vow to sin no more. And that's like, okay, I gotta try to do this. But we fall. Listen, there have been times in my life where I went to confession every week. Mm. Listen, I'm not out there like murdering people. I don't want you to think that. I don't know why that just jumped in my head.
No.
But no, I'm just saying, for every...
Buster just peed again.
Oh, I hope not.
No, I'm making a joke. You scared him.
What I'm trying to say is, for everything that makes you bogged down as a person, you know that part at Mass where you're like, in my thoughts and in my words, if you say words that are sinful, if you think thoughts that are sinful and you can't get out of that trap, go to confession. If for the things you've done and the things you failed to do, if you failed to step up to the plate, go to confession. You know, if you failed to do something you were supposed to do for sinful reasons, go to confession. So that's what all those things, that's what leads me to go to confession once a month. Mm-hmm. And I still do when I can. Now with Zoe, it's a little more tricky, but I go to confession when I can. And any time it's ever offered anywhere, like when I go on conferences or when we do, like we used to have the youth spectacular and the youth fest and stuff like that.
Or like winter retreat.
Winter retreat, yep. Yeah. I'll be one of the first ones up there, which means something. One time I went to confession with Father Terry and I had like this list. I was like, all this stuff that I never confessed like over the years. Like, I'm pretty sure I never confessed this. I'm pretty sure. And he's funny because I just walk up, I sit down and he's like, I'm like, all right. Here we go. Ready? Well, when... He's like, stop right there. You just walked up here in front of 50 retreatants, 50 high school kids, to say that you needed confession. He's like, I absolve you of all your sins. You don't need to say anything. God knows already. And you just made the biggest statement walking up here in front of 50 retreatants. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm like, but wait a minute.
Right. Feel a little cheated. Come on now.
I need to feel bad about myself. Yeah. That's also sinful, by the way.
Yeah. Don't get caught in that.
Shame is a sin. So it's just, you know, it's this amazing experience. And if you're an adult and you are in youth ministry, if you are in religious ed, if you're a coach of a team, anything that involved with young people, if they see that it's important to you, it will be important to them. You can't be the person who tells them how important it is to go to confession and then never go to confession. Mm-hmm. So I can't sit up here and say like, hey, confession is important and then never go.
Right.
but yeah, that's, I go as much as I can because I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
none of us are. And when you fall into that, like, I'm not worthy type of thing, it's, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. We got a little off topic there.
Oh, it's fine.
Music?
Music. So, yeah, quite a lot of Christmas albums coming out now that...
Oh, of course.
Halloween is past. last Friday, we had a release from For King & Country, their live Christmas album from Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith Andrews also has her Christmas project, Receive Our King, that came out this past Friday. And then if you like hard rock, Ashes Remain and Red both came out with new projects this past Friday as well. This Friday, Toby Mac, The Light of Christmas, comes out. Plum has her new EP called God Help Me coming out. And then looking ahead to next Friday, Francesca Battistelli has a Greatest Hits album coming out.
Mm.
10th Avenue North has a new project called Decade the Halls, Volume 1, where they do songs from different decades of styles. And so it's kind of crazy.
Wow.
It's fun to listen to. And
that's interesting.
The song to look out for is they do a new song called The Song of Christmas with Zach Williams. And they do it in the 50s rock and roll.
Wow, that's cool.
Version. So that'll be coming out a week from this Friday. And Paul Balazs has a live project coming from London called For Unto Us Christmas Worship.
Wow, that's great. Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right, so let's go right into the gospel.
Get your Bible.
Yeah, my Bible. And I do have it marked here. Let's see if this works for me. It's really hard because one sentence is on one page, and then the rest of that sentence is like two pages later.
So this is the Beatitudes, right?
This is the Beatitudes. So if you read along with us, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When he saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, awesome, right?
Yeah.
I love that. Because when, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, is just, it's so great. It's just, I don't know, it's so
It's a nice amazing. Reminder, because a lot of times, you know, as Christ followers, we feel a lot of struggle of, you know, I'm putting in a lot of work. Sometimes you feel like it's not,
yeah.
it's going without being noticed, but that's a reminder of it is being noticed and you will be rewarded for it.
And it also, and the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning like those who are down or those who are questioning.
Right.
You know, like, how many times in your life have you been like, man, am I doing the right thing? Like, is God really listening to me? Like,
mm-hmm.
Is he really calling me to this? Is it this? Is it, you know, and you're just down.
Mm-hmm.
And then God will just reward you. Like, listen, yeah. here you go. Like, check this out.
Yeah.
yeah. I just feel like Jesus being like, come on.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the people who are persecuting you. Don't worry about,
mm-hmm.
like, listen, they're going to falsely accuse you or falsely say all this lies about me. And they're going to say that you're a terrible person for believing in me. And they're going to spew all this hate and all this evil. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
In heaven, there's a kingdom for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how about that? Jesus is like, bro, listen,
yeah.
it's going to get bad.
I got you.
It's going to get bad.
Yeah.
But don't worry about that. Don't worry about whatever happens here, because in heaven,
I got you.
You're with me.
Yeah. yeah.
It's like the, like that VIP experience. Oh, the, oh right, those guys,
right. yeah.
they're with me.
Right, right. Pull the curtain.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, they immediately open all doors
yeah.
in heaven, like, because Jesus is like, those dudes,
yeah,
they're with me.
It's the best group to be in.
It's just so. It's like Jesus talks to the bouncer at heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
St. Peter.
Yeah. yeah, we're good. Peter grabs his little radio. They're in.
They're in. Jesus says they're with him.
That's right.
There's so much more to the message of the gospel, but that's all I can,
right.
That's all I can think about now. It's just Jesus telling, like, listen, they're with me.
Yahweh so, or the highway.
So, anyway, just awesome.
Yeah.
It's just an awesome gospel, and I definitely appreciate getting to know my Bible more.
Mm.
And that's why I like doing the gospel readings. During the podcast. So, another thing that we do every time is a saint of the day. And Saint Valentine Barrio Ochoa, it was a martyr. He was a bishop in Vietnam, and he was betrayed. And he was actually, just let me read this so that I get it right.
Hmm.
He was martyred with Saint Jerome and Blessed Peter Amato in Vietnam by enemies of the church. So basically, they were killed for being Catholic and spreading the word. And I mean, that's just sainthood right there. Because my thing is when you go into a volatile territory, knowing what the risks are, you know, what the price to be paid for doing that.
And he was canonized pretty recently, wasn't he?
Yeah,
it was
canonized 1988 by JP2.
Almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, almost.
Almost.
I was 5 years old at that time.
Yeah.
but Think I was about one. That. You were one. Yeah, thanks. Make me feel old.
Yeah, no problem.
It's all right. Eva hadn't been born yet for 3 years.
Yeah, well, my wife, who's on right now, she awesome. Wasn't even a concept either.
No, yeah, 1991.
Yeah, 92 for Jen.
Yep. It's so funny. Yeah, we're old.
Yeah, old geezers.
But yeah, so John Paul II, just an amazing pope, by the way. Yeah. Just going to throw that out there. But yeah, so he, in Vietnam, he was killed in 1858. So we're not talking like the 400s with like some of the saints that we talk about. This was recent, and he became a saint recently. It's pretty great to be able to talk about like modern day saints, you know, and, you know, people that are dying for their beliefs and this church and spreading God's word and bringing Jesus and the love of Christ to the world and willing to risk it, being bold about it, you know, just awesome. Just like an awesome man, you know, St. Valentine. I probably am butchering your name, but Brio Ochoa.
Very cool name.
Yeah, so news of the weird?
News of the weird. Well, in the spirit of Halloween, I found this story out of Winter Park, Florida, Yeah, yeah. All the great weird stories come out of Florida.
I'm allowed to say that my parents live in Florida.
Okay. All right. You got the pass. So this couple ended up having their baby arrive 4 days late and after 14 hours of labor, and the baby arrived yesterday. Now, guess what the baby's last name is?
Wait a minute. So, what? So, the 14 hours of labor.
Yeah, and it 4 days late.
Wow.
So the baby ended up arriving on Halloween. Wow. Last name just so happened to be Frankenstein.
Get out of here.
So the baby's actual name is Oscar Gary Frankenstein.
All right. So you went with Oscar.
Oscar.
So we got Oscar the Grouch Frankenstein.
Right. I just wonder if the doctor pulled the baby out with
it lives. It's alive. It's alive. So Frankenstein.
Yeah. Fetch me my tools.
So that apparently that is a real name.
Yeah.
And do you think that there's a lot of people named Frankenstein? Like, what do you think? Just guess. Like, what do you think the population like of the world?
I just feel like a lot of people would legally change their last name if they saw that.
Oh, that could be the case where weird people. Yeah. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Well, it was funny because the baby's grandmother, Jennifer Frankenstein, tells WKMG the family is super excited and said Oscar is her first grandchild and the Frankenstein family's first baby born on Halloween, although she does have a 13-year-old daughter who shares the same birthday as Frankenstein author Mary Shelley.
Wow. All right. But they don't know Frankenstein author Mary Shelley. How old is that book?
It's been around for a long time. Let me check real quick.
So, the power of Google.
Yes.
Not that Google needs our advertising.
No, not at all.
I think
1818.
1818?
Originally published January 1st, 1818.
Wow, that's a long time ago. That,
yeah.
200 years ago
as of next year.
So 200 years ago, just imagine what it took to publish a book.
And the influence it has had since.
Oh, yeah. How many movies?
All the movies. TV shows, cartoons.
Yeah. And Frankenstein is a monster that is in everything. You know, the monsters. Like, think about that, you know? That's crazy. Wow. 1818.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just an extra tidbit on News of the Weird.
Exactly.
So 200 years ago, think about how, like, what it took to publish a book. You had to... Evan's going to die. He's got the black lung. He's mining coal in his spare time. He's going to spit the water all over his computer.
All over Facebook Live.
So, it's like, in all honesty, what did it take? So, handwriting, right? Do you think that's not quill times, right? 1818. That's not ink and quill, right? They had actual pencils and pens, right? I've lost Evan. Evan is gone.
I'm gone. I'm like laughing and coughing.
Same time. So they had actual pens and pencils.
I'm dead.
The original, and then it was probably like the original, like printing presses where you know, you had to
like at Sturbridge Village.
Yeah, I see, but that's like 1600s, right? Sturbridge Village. Like, what's the time? What's the time? Like, I'm off. Like, I'm.
We're all over the map now.
I'm thinking printing press. Like, how many books, how many copies of that has sold, right?
Yeah, around 1790s through 1830s.
Oh, so yeah. In that period. So we're talking Sturbridge Village, if those of you who are. So, yeah, you're talking, like, every letter having to be slid into place on the printing press.
Yeah.
And then, boom, there's one page. Every letter having to be slid into the printing press. Boom, there's another page of a 400-page book for Frankenstein.
Yeah. I'm done.
All right, so those of you who are listening to the podcast, you need to just shoot over to Facebook and watch the video of Evan literally just dying.
Falling apart.
Just falling apart.
I'm like Frankenstein's monster is falling apart.
He needs to be charged up. He needs to get him struck by lightning. Just going to stand him outside
just
with a metal
pole. Just need the bolts adjusted. Yeah. I need a new lung.
That's it. Hey, that music means it's time to wrap this up.
Thank you, music.
You can find us on Facebook, Bacon Smiles Ministry. You can reach out to me. You can message me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those things. Yeah, you can click the links on my website, baconsmiles.org. I believe my Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are up there. If not, right on there, you can email me, steve@baconsmiles.org. The music's getting louder.
It's getting loud.
But as always, I'm Steve Patera.
Evan Schaumacher.
He can't speak, ladies and gentlemen. But as always, keep smiling and God bless.